All right. Howdy, friends. Welcome to another edition of Vulnerable You. It seems a lot of you liked the video and audio format, so we're on to something here. Appreciate all the feedback. So in this week's newsletter, I spent a good chunk of time talking about how I launched the YouTube channel and the podcast. So I, you know, didn't want to run on too long. So I kind of just have a short thought, and mostly it's a mental exercise that got started. I've been listening to a lot of Scott Galloway, and I know he's written some books that people really like, but I've been just devouring his podcast, Prof. G Show. And he's got a few different shows in that one podcast feed. And one of them is called No Mercy, No Malice. And that's the name of his blog. I think he used to have a TV show of a similar name. He put some interesting thoughts, and I really like the way his brain works. And one of the things that he talked about a whole lot recently is an analogy around emissions. And he's talking more about climate change emissions, right? And CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions. And his analogy is, you know, basically emissions are from combining two things, converting of things into energy produces a byproduct, right? Sometimes that byproduct is good, right? He kind of said fats into soap can produce glycerin, which you could use in moisturizers or explosives. Either way, useful, right? But yeah, there's also a whole bunch of bad emissions, and we know a lot about that from all the news around climate change or different things, right? And one of the things that he's drawing a parallel to is that if today a lot of people say that attention is the new oil. Well, if that's the new oil, what's the emission for this attention, right? So converting attention into profit has had a whole lot of emissions as well, especially around, mental health or, just our ad-driven economy. And he talks a whole lot about that side of it. And I linked the post and a few quotes in the newsletter. And I just really, really, this thought has been an earworm in my brain this week. And so I started to think about how this relates to InfoSec a little bit. And, I don't think it's that much of a jump to say that risk is actually an emission of doing business online, right? If you want to do business online, there is a byproduct, and that is risk. And I think InfoSec is just a series of strategies to lower those emissions or capture those emissions in some way, right? I think there's a longer thought here, and I might write some more about it, but since I just did a short version of the newsletter this week, I just wanted to kind of plant this seed, right, and say, okay, well, what else are we looking at, right? Is antivirus like the paper straw of our world, right? Is DLP the catalytic converter, like a desperate attempt to reduce emissions as they're leaving the engine and into the cloud, right? That's kind of the catalytic converter is trying to do something with the emissions before they leave the car. And is cyber insurance like the new carbon offset, right? Like just a more of a financial model instead of actually addressing the problem. Are we kind of moving chips around on the table on the back end instead of addressing the risk, right? And I drew a few more parallels, and I think some of them are a stretch and some of them are funny. But if you think of any, leave some comments and I'll share some of the best ones on Twitter or in my next video. All right, and talking about the news a little bit, I wanted to start with, it's basically InfoSec Christmas. It's Verizon DBIR Day. For those of you who are not familiar, I feel bad for you. It's been great over the years, but Verizon puts out a data breach incident report every year for as long as I can remember. And some of the biggest names in InfoSec have floated through that team in the time that they've been putting it out. So this year is no exception. It's a great report. It's always full of great visuals to like really tell the story of like what's going on with actual incidents this year. What I find great and useful about this report is instead of worrying about what the new vuln is or the CVSS score of something being 10 and it's like super critical, driving your priorities, things like this that share actual incident data and say this is how attackers are actually getting in to organizations and and putting that all together and saying, okay, all the publicly available incidents, and I think they even have some private partnerships as well, where they share data in a standardized format. It's called the Veris format that people on that team have developed over the years. That can track things like the attacker's motivation, their techniques, the result, the financial loss, the size of the team, on the breach, the budget of the team during the breach, things like this. And we can kind of tell a really interesting story about trends over the years because they've been doing it for so long. So some of the most interesting bits that I saw, that about 95% of breaches are financially driven, right? So cash is king. No surprise there. One of the interesting trends in something that is increasing pretty rapidly in attackers' techniques is something called pretexting. So this is because social engineering and the human element is often the most attacked, right? Instead of trying to find some complex ode that you know, burn to get into an organization. That's more nation state level stuff, right? But your run-of-the-mill attackers who are trying to make a few Bitcoin or whatever it is are going to come after the people of your organization. We all get phishing text messages and emails constantly. This is no different, maybe a little bit more targeted. So pretexting is when the attacker actually builds a scenario up that is more believable and increases the success rate of kind of a social engineering part of an attack, right? So think access into one person's email, not immediately burning that access and doing everything you can with it. Using that email to be a trusted source and inserting yourself into some existing threads. Now you have a whole bunch of other people that are going to trust what you say a whole lot more because you are coming from an email address that's already part of an existing thread with a bunch of coworkers, right? I'm sure that this kind of thing happens in Slack and DMs and things like that as well. But pretexting is on the rise. And you can check the link in the newsletter this week to download the DBIR. I'll include it in the show notes as well. One other interesting bit, we hear a lot about ransomware and it being one of the major incident types every year. It actually seems to have not grown year over year. And also kind of interesting, about 93% of ransomware incidents had no loss, that the company did not pay and recovered without loss. So super interesting trends there because it seems to make the headlines a whole lot. I'm going to dive deeper into this to see if like the organization maturity matters or if we've just kind of caught up to it, right, in terms of things like EDR and other protections. But yeah. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Log4j is kind of interesting in terms of stats and numbers of like what actually happened in Log4j, because that's part of this year's report. Another obvious one, like, hey, don't roll your own mail server, right? Like, hey, 41% of breaches involve mail servers. Just, you're not Microsoft, you're not Google. Don't run your own mail server. There's a whole bunch more thoughts. I also linked a blog by Kelly Shortridge, who got an early access copy of the report and outlined some thoughts that I wholeheartedly agree with. Kelly's blog is one of my favorite sources of info. They've been on a tear this year with good content on the blog. So check out, I've linked posts of hers in the past in the newsletter, but definitely check out her thoughts on the DBIR. Okay, moving on to what's next. Apple has released some new privacy features. They've got what's called lockdown mode, which one bone to pick with kind of the branding that Apple has in lockdown mode is that it's like very extreme. And like, if you really care about stuff, we're going to lock down your phone. And it almost sounds like cumbersome in the branding. But it's actually a super important feature, especially if you're like a journalist or a public figure or anything like that, that includes all sorts of privacy protections. And then in this latest update, also includes sandboxing and includes watchOS. So if you have an Apple Watch, it won't be like a loophole through some of these privacy protections. So definitely check out the lockdown mode updates. Another long thread this week was about the MoveIt file transfer vulnerability. So this came out this week and Shodan had something, thousands of MoveIt servers publicly accessible on the internet. And there was a pretty easy SQL injection ODAI that got released. My friend John Hammond over at Huntress reversed this vuln a bit and reversed the attack a bit, and also found that it wasn't just SQL injection, it was remote code execution. So I wrote a long thread on Twitter kind of summarizing John's post, and then John's post is extremely detailed, including the code and how he reverse engineered this. And so if you're interested in the various levels of detail there, go check out my Twitter thread on it or John's post on it. But basically, if you're using MoveIt, don't, or at least patch. I think for enterprise file transfer software is going to, this is not the first ODAI. So I think it's going to continue to be a target. So I would start to consider other alternatives if that's part of your business needs. Finally, I shared a post. Phil Venables, the old CISO of Goldman Sachs, when I worked there, I had the pleasure of working with Phil, and now the CISO of Google Cloud. And Phil's blog is just constantly like PhD level, fantastic, I can't believe it's free level content. And he put out another one this week that I really liked. I liked so much that I actually wrote a blog post kind of summarizing my thoughts about it. So link to my blog and Phil's blog in the newsletter. The topic is about artisanal security versus industrial security programs, and really how we should be moving towards industrial programs. And he lays out a lot of metrics that are by design kind of hard to measure metrics, hard to explain metrics. And that's one of the challenges here, especially if you have to report to a board of directors or something like that. They like, how many attacks did you stop metrics? They like red, green, yellow things, which I've talked about a whole lot. It's fairly useless. I think I talked about that on RSnake's podcast, and he talked about it in a LazCon talk that stoplight security is pretty useless, and some of these metrics are kind of stupid. Well, Phil's got an alternative to some pretty good metrics, but they're pretty hard to measure. So super interesting topic. Go check that out if you're interested in that. That's the news this week. So, hey, we're just getting started with this. I appreciate all the feedback on the first episode, all the support. A bunch of you have subscribed and shared it on social media. If you're watching this one for the first time, if you can, you know, do all the algorithm magic for me as I'm just getting started and like it and subscribe and maybe leave me a comment on what you thought about this. It really helps the channel out as I'm just getting started. I'll see you all next week for another edition of Vulnerable You.